Jersey TV.
Is a dead guy or a girl, is a dead guy or gal obligated to obey traffic laws? Yep, it's a complicated question. Take your time now. Relax. Is a dead person, male or female, obligated to obey traffic laws? And if the dead person should violate a law, would they be subject to a fine? Oh, my friends, this may seem like a silly question, but it leads to a magnificent point. In Galatians 2, verses 19 and 20, because this is the best thing we have going for us, and it is the least understood thing. Now, you're a fast audience. Most of you understand this, but I'm going to show you a wrinkle. I'm going to crack open the fruit. Once again, I've cracked it open before, but every time I do that, it's just some new juice comes out. Like, if you squeeze it, I get a new little juice thing that's never been seen before. So I'm excited about it, as you can tell. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. Not feeling high def today, so I'm using the low pixel, low thing, because I don't want to be seen clearly. I don't want to be seen clearly, but I do want to be heard. And that's going to happen right freaking now. Galatians chapter 2, let's start with verse 19. This is Paul speaking. You see, because we were never under the law. I mentioned traffic laws, but what I was doing was just giving you a rubber meets the road example where you live, and now I'm going to apply it to the law of Moses. We were never under the law of Moses, ever. The law of Moses came to one nation and one nation only. But the Apostle Paul was under the law of Moses. But listen to what this radical says in Galatians 2:20. And no wonder. The Israelites hated Paul. Even the believers. Did you know? Where's this an axe? It's an axe. Did you know that there were like thousands of believers in Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, yet they were all zealous for the law? This is shocking. Because you would think that, well, a believer in Jesus, and as they called them in that day, Christians, Paul never called his people Christians. Okay, we're believers. Do not call yourself a Christian. But back in the day, there were Christians, those associated with the Israel gospel, who were still zealous for the law. I mean, this was misguided on some in some cases, because you can be zealous for the law as an Israelite type, realizing that the law will be fulfilled in the future. But these people were zealous for the law, like they're still supposed to do law, even though that veil in the temple was rent and God was opening things up to the nations and a whole new thing. But this is Paul. You have to understand this is Paul. Galatians 2:19. For I, says the Apostle Paul, I, through law, died to law. Now I'm going to launch from here to verse 20, and you're going to see it. Start here, though. I, through law, died to law, that I should be living to God. So what do you mean Paul died through law? Law cursed Paul. The law could never produce righteousness because it was infirm through the flesh. And Paul found this out, and he describes the experience in Romans chapter 7. I want to do the law. I want to do it. But I find myself doing the opposite of it. What will deliver me from this situation, from this body of death, really? Paul ends up in Romans 7 saying grace delivered him. But I, so through law, died to law, that I should be living to God. So there's a transfer. The Apostle Paul is being transferred from one sphere to another sphere. He's being transferred from living to the law, which he did his entire life. He slaved for the law. He lived to the law. And he probably came closer than anybody else to living perfectly under the law. But he failed. He failed. Because you can't just do some of the laws great some days. You have to do all the laws excellently and perfectly every day. But if you fail in one aspect, you fail in the whole law. So Paul's going to introduce now a radical truth, but let me make sure I have you sealed in verse 19 here. I, through law, died to law that I should be living to God. So he's transferred from living to law, living to God. That's a lot more fun, living to God. God's, as I said, for us, God is a father, and we throw ourselves in his lap. Okay, so now we're going to come to you and me. Because this is a related truth, but I wanted to start you with verse 19. Even before that, I started you with a traffic law example. Dead people do not have to pay bills. Dead people do not have to obey traffic laws. Dead people do not have to obey the law of Moses. Okay, here we go. Verse 20. With Christ have I been crucified. So now Paul's not just saying he died to the law. He's saying that now, as a person whose old humanity was crucified, he died to himself. He died to himself being under Adam, which is the old humanity. Adam dragged everybody into this realm of sin, death, frustration, futility. And that's the old humanity. But something amazing was done to this old humanity whose head is Adam. What was done to it? Jesus Christ, as the last Adam, transferred the whole human race out of Adam, out of the jurisdiction of Adam, into the jurisdiction of Christ. But hardly any of the human race realizes this. So they have no practical experience of it. They're all included in it, but they don't know that. So they're still slaving away for the old humanity. And some of them even think they have to do the Mosaic Law. Not even Israel types have to do the Mosaic Law now, because there's no temple. They can't do the temple service, the sacrifices. It's a joke. It's a joke. They don't realize that. So they're still slaving away. And the crazy thing that drives me crazy, even those who never were under the Mosaic Law, i.e. the nations, they're also desperate to transfer themselves into an administration, into a system of rules and regulations that is called by the Apostle Paul a dispensation of condemnation and death. They want to be in it. What, condemnation and death? Something we can't do, something that's impossible to do, that if we even try it, we come under condemnation and death. Yes, sign us up. Sign us up. And they tack the Ten Commandments on the walls of their churches and their homes, and they stare at it day and night until their corneas burn. Ah, this is wonderful. Can't wait to try this. What a bunch of spiritual morons. I'm sorry, but I don't take it back. So we're under this new thing. With Christ have I been crucified, Paul said. So the old humanity was dead. But there's a problem. Here's the problem. With Christ I've been crucified, yet I am living. Ho-ho! Wait a minute. My old humanity was crucified. So why aren't I some wild, crazy, new celestial being now? With glitter all over me and a luminescence coming out of me. Why aren't I floating? Why aren't I? Well, because we have not yet been made immortal to agree with the truth. So the truth is there. With Christ, I have been crucified. Boom. Your old humanity was crucified. Yet I am living. So you look out the window. You're still on Eon 3. You smell your armpit. Ah, shit. Still subject to mortality. That's why you stink, because you're mortal. When we're made immortal, the perfume manufacturers will all be out of business. Powders, I don't know, hairspray, does that smell good sometimes? Yeah, toothpaste, underarm deodorant, all unnecessary when we're made immortal. We stink because we're dying, and we use all this stuff to cover it up. That's what you're doing. You're covering the scent of death with your colognes, perfumes. I use it too. I want to cover the scent of death. Are you kidding? Everybody does. Toothpaste, mouthwash, perfume, cologne. You got to do it. So we're still in this I am living. But then Paul says, no longer I, no longer I, but living in me is Christ. So the problem is I'm living. I'm looking out the window. I'm putting underarm deodorant on. But it's no longer I. It's no longer that person you see in the mirror. No longer the person that stinks. That's not you anymore. Because God is looking at you as a new creation because of Christ. He dragged the old humanity into the tomb by his death, his entombment, and then when he was raised from the dead, now you are a new humanity. And it's not, well, it's not theoretical. No, it's not theoretical. It's real. It just hasn't been manifested yet in our flesh. But Jesus Christ and God, the pair of them, they consider it to be done. And we are expected to live as if it were physically already manifested. But the problem is, yet I am living. There it is. With Christ, I have been crucified. Ah, sounds great. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be dragged down by that old humanity anymore. Problem, yet I am living. Oh, shit. But yet no longer I. What do you mean no longer I? Living in me is Christ. So it's this thing where it's not the old you anymore. It's the new you, but you're still carrying around the old you. This is the big problem. You're still carrying it around. But you're supposed to think of yourself now as a new creation, meaning, I mean, as a new creation, go back to verse 19, you're not subject to any of the decrees, especially not the Ten Commandments, that would put you into God's disfavor at the breaking of any of these laws. You can't come into God's disfavor. It sounds something like this. That's magical. You can't come into God's disfavor. I'm looking at the wrong camera over here the whole time. I'm thinking I got this camera working, but I don't. This camera's not working. It's this one. Sorry. So you can't come into God's disfavor. That's a beautiful thing. How can God condemn a corpse? Going back to the driving example. How can God condemn a corpse? You can't condemn a corpse. Shame on you, corpse. Why are you sinning? Hey, corpse. Come here. I got to have a word with you. Can't. Corpse is not subject to the Ten Commandments. Corpse is not subject even to the exhortations of Paul. How about that? I'm taking it to the next level. A corpse isn't even subject to the exhortations of Paul. Those aren't even laws. They're exhortations like, why don't you just do this? Blah. As long as you're naming the name of Christ, why don't you just not screw your stepmother? Why don't you just not do that, okay? We can't even do that apart from the inworking of the Spirit. That's where the other part comes in. Yet living in me is Christ. So that's your new possessor. It's not Adam anymore. It's Christ. And then this. With Christ, have I been crucified, yet I am living? Problem. No longer I. Solving of the problem, but living in me is Christ. Great news. So I'm not under any condemnation. It's impossible for me to come under condemnation. And here's the key. Now that which I am living in flesh, that is, yet I am living. Right? Paul says, with Christ I have been crucified, yet I'm living. I'm living. But that which I am now living in flesh, I'm living in faith. That is of the Son of God, the same person living in me is Christ. That faith is of the Son of God who loves me. This is why he did this for you. Who loves me and gives himself up for me. So this faith walk, it comes down to walking by faith, not perception. You have to do it because you're still carrying around the old humanity, even while this gigantic new truth has been declared to be so. Not theoretical, it's real. You just haven't been physically introduced to it yet, physically, because you're still carrying around the corpse, you might say, of the old humanity. But that which we live now with this new I, see, I'm constantly living in the new I. I love the new I. I am living, yet no longer I. I like that. See, I'm done with myself. This is why I could say outrageous things like Martin Zenner, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. People think, oh, he's arrogant. It's a joke to me because, again, I'm living in the new I. I can say I all day. I love to talk about myself, but I do it knowing that there's no pride or arrogance there, because how could you be proud about a corpse? How could you be arrogant about something that no longer exists? That is the old humanity. I'm living in the new humanity. I can't come under any condemnation. I'm singing, I'm dancing, I'm having a good time. I don't feel guilty about it. The only people that will try to make me feel guilty about it is those who do not realize that they are a new I. They still think they're in the old humanity, so they're worried about, oh my God, am I going to come under condemnation sometime? Somewhere, somehow, condemnation? And then they see me, or they see you, that person's coming under condemnation. But see, there's a big gulf between us and them. They don't realize that the old I has been put to death, and there's a new I. You can't be condemned, so you live free. You live free because you can't be condemned anymore. So that loosens you up, and now you're living all like this. You're having fun. You're having a good time. They can't stand it because they don't see it, because they're still enmeshed, mired in the old humanity, and they think they can come into God's disfavor any second now. We can't. That's what makes us free, and we're living, and we're exploring the boundaries, and God's going, hey, I like this. These people realize they're the new I. And the people who are the sourpusses or the sour pie, they're the ones condemning you because they don't know what the hell's going on. They're still living in the old humanity. They're still trying to do the Ten Commandments. We're not. For freedom, Christ freed us. Live in it. You're going to like it.